trees. Then they couldn't launch the lifeboats. We passed the galley, unwittingly smashing plates and glasses that littered the floor. A young kitchen hand stood in the middle of the debris, wearing only the bottom half of his thermal underwear, his bare feet bleeding into the floor, and a yellow streak running down his right leg. Dave went straight through him. If this guy couldn't get himself to his lifeboat, we weren't going to stop and give him directions. We took the stairs three at a time. Lifeboat number one was on the starboard side, right under the helideck. But it may as well have been in Cleveland. Something inside the room we needed to cross had slid across the floor and blocked our escape. The door was stuck. Out a stairwell, go, go! I turned around and ran back the way we had come. Precious minutes wasted. There was real fear in Dave's voice. It made me move faster. We went back through the galley. The kitchen hand had disappeared. At the far end of the corridor was a hatch to the outer stairwell. I hit it so hard I felt my shoulder crack as it flew open. We descended the stairs without really touching them. The freezing air bit into the sweat on my face, and everything lay at a bizarre angle as the rig slowly continued to tip. Dave lost his footing at the bottom of the stairs and went down hard onto the container that lay across the walkway. We were 50 yards from our secondary lifeboat. I pulled him up and turned to run. The crew were mustering and preparing to launch what looked more like an orange submarine than a boat. Someone was there in the flashing light. It was Erwin, standing on the ramp in front of the open hatch.